Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
All right, y'all know what time it is. We're back. And I've got to tell you like this, I'm excited because tonight's topic is a very good topic. We're getting ready to approach it. It's the music industry, the business of dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Let's see where we're going to go with that tonight. But before we get started, we want to go into prayer and go to the throne and say, thank you, Lord, for giving us the platform to allow us to come together once again as a community to express our thoughts about this business of music. So let's pray today for a better tomorrow. Let's pray today for a better tomorrow, that time is passing between the minutes and hours. Life on earth may be short. So listen, God's children, give this some thought. For the day we live, tomorrow's not promised. So let's take the practice God's word upon us and use it as a daily digestion. For it is our hope and only protection. So together today, if we may, let's take a moment out to our knees to pray that God will make tomorrow a much better day. Lord, for all of those who are listening in, we ask that you bless them going forward as they quest to be in this business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Tonight, guys, we're talking about the music industry. The business of dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Not only on contracts, which contracts is definitely one of those things that you want to dot your I's and cross your T's, but also in relationships, the relationships you build going up. Because sometimes you're in the face of someone, you might get a little teed off with them, you tell them to kiss this, let's just say you're behind, but that might be the same behind you might be seeing coming back down. In a relationship, you make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's. Make sure you take care of the people who take care of you. That's what we'll be talking about tonight. So I'm going to open up the line with my boy, Rodo. Rodo, what's your thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, hey, I think this is a good subject. I think that, you know, it's something for the young people to listen to because dotting your I's and crossing your T's, and talking about the relationships that are in the product or the promotion or the management or all of those points. You know, a commitment is a commitment. A changing of the mind once you signed on the dotted line cannot be changed unless there's money exchanging hands. So they've got to remember, you know, they sit at the table. If the contract's not good and they sign it, they've got to live with it. I've been hearing, you know, different conversations that different artists are coming up with. Well, yeah, this artist signed with this label and then decided that they were unhappy. Well, you know, you got to ask your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa how many days they went to work and they were unhappy with the amount of money they were making or the circumstances they were working under. A commitment is a commitment, and it's a job. You have committed yourself by signing on the dotted line to do that job. There's no, as they say, reneging. You know, you just can't back out and say, "Oop, I'm out." You are going to be penalized. You know, they used to call that being blacklisted. You know, and then, you know, the relationships between people that have power in the industry, you don't want to be blacklisted. You want them to give another person inquiring about you the nod to say, "Yep, that person's a committed entertainer. That person is committed when they sign a contract to follow through and give what they're signing. and that you know, and that there's no issues with that entertainer, you know, because you know you can be passed over very quickly to the next individual. But that's all I want to say in the beginning. So yeah, that, I think that gave a little bit of a picture.
All right, I got 216-496. Please state your name, where you're calling in from.
My name is Anthony Germain. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, can you state your name again?
Anthony Germain.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's up, Tony? How you doing tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good. How are you?
Doing pretty good, my man, pretty good. What's your thoughts on tonight's topic? We're talking about the music industry. The business of dotting your I's and crossing your T's, not only in the contracts that's there, but also in the relationships. What's your thoughts?
I think what he was saying with blowing relationships and showing that you're not a man of your word is going to kill you. I'm still pretty low in the industry, but I've devoted tons and tons of time to learning. As much as I can that I knew would be effective and relevant to me advancing my career. And, I mean, the contracts that I see a lot of people getting in with labels that don't have the most important elements, which I believe are marketing and promotion. Because if you, it doesn't matter what product you have, if a label doesn't have that, then what are they going to do with your product? And, I mean, for these labels to say, you know, I want to sign you, it's like, well, ask them to show you a track record of what they've done with other artists. How are they going to take care of you? How are they financially going to take care of you? What is your future? And if they could show that and they have a great plan for you and your lawyer agrees with it, I mean, then that's good. But to get to that point, to finally get your break and then show you're not committed, you may as well just kill yourself because there's so many people, including myself, working so hard and dying to get their opportunities that for you to not be committed to your word, it's just pathetic, you know?
Yep. So I guess you finished right there because you said you know.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I have a lot to learn on the business end. Me, myself, I'm more on the business end than being an artist, but I think a lot of us are artists. You know, I'm an artist. I'd like to do an album one day, but I'm still learning how to protect myself. I mean, example, you make an album, you're sending tracks out, you're sending acapellas out. There's all types of crazy stuff happening in other countries where your music can just be taken advantage of, taken your profits, and you have no control over it. You're not educated on how to protect yourself. It's just, it's getting crazy. You know, like Jay-Z said, it's a wild, wild west. It really is. And,
well, let's go there. Let's go there for a moment because you mentioned protecting yourself. I think that's one of the first crossing your I's and dotting your T's, that if you are entering in this business, the first thing you need to know is that you are dealing with an intellectual property. And intellectual properties, if promoted and marketed correctly, can have mad potential behind it and make a lot of money. But if you have not protected yourself appropriately, as Anthony just spoke of, that's where you can find yourself being robbed. If you don't copyright it, somebody else will. So what's your thoughts about copyrights and how should they go about doing it? I'm going to go to you. I'm coming back to you, Anthony. What's your thoughts?
Honestly, I don't have all the answers yet, and I would be misleading people if I told them how to fully protect themselves. There's just so much going on. Like, you post your song on the internet, it's going out all over the place, and people are using it. People are taking advantage of it. I mean, there's YouTube channels out there with sponsors and all types of stuff that will just take your stuff, throw it into you know, one of their videos, et cetera, and they'll start profiting off of it. I mean, there's copyright issues, and this goes back. We had a conversation about filtering the internet, and people are super sensitive about talking about it, even the thought of it, because and the first thing they say is, well, if they filter the internet, what else are they going to do? Where are we giving the government and the people in power too much control? And I mean, how much control does the government really have? Is what I think people are being blindsided by, because the more I've been digging into the industry, business, everything, it comes down to a lot of, like, private banking, private identities, and, you know, very powerful people with money. So, and I think a lot of even our government is being shifted by that, our political figures, et cetera. It's coming down to money. So, I mean, I think the internet has to be filtered. I think people need to stop being so paranoid and really need to sit down and hear a good plan of going about it. You know, if your music was being put on the internet and it was being protected, is that a bad thing? Like, if the proposed plan to filter the internet was just to protect musicians, protect people's property, is that really that bad? Or do you want
everything
to... I'm
going to let Rodolph answer that.
You know?
Rodolph, what's your thought?
Yeah. Well, now, you know what? Music has gone to hell in a handbasket. There's no way to protect it. The electronics that they allowed to be put on the market that can sample and recreate and retune and reverse and steal a chord from, you know, one of the masters of guitar playing and steal, you know, Marcus Miller, who's one of the most fantastic bass players, and piece it together and what have you. You know, that side of it is gone, unfortunately. It's no longer the way it used to exist in protecting the artist. But see, now here's the next catch. The artist has got to slow his roll. He puts together a single and then he throws it out there. And then he'll put together another single in a couple of months and he'll throw it out there. Well, why not hold your stuff back and put it together in a format that, you know, you then promote and market as a complete package? Because, see, you can send things in different directions, but you can't watch them like that. You can't really protect yourself like that. You can't become known by just, you know, one single. You know, people get hungry to hear, well, let me hear something else by this guy. You know, and they want to dig a little deeper so that they get the full taste of this guy's style and what he's trying to do. And a single is just not enough to get them there. You know, I understand that this is the way it's being done, and, you know, once they get it done, they put it straight to YouTube. But why not put it in the vault? I mean, you know, and hold on until you get 15 songs that you've created so that you have something that you can possibly market as a whole rather than going for the individual strike. I mean, I see it, and I go, okay, but how can you watch five different things going in 30 different directions?
That's a good point. Am I still, am I muted?
No, you're on.
No, you're on.
I think I've seen from a lot of successful YouTubers, they actually drop content twice a week. So for an artist, that means, you know, you got vlogs, you got videos. It really is a lot to keep up with as an independent artist. If people are saying, you know, it's the greatest time, a lot of people are saying it's the greatest time to be an independent musician. Possibly. If you have the right connections, and resources, definitely. But it's going to take an effort. Like, people, what kills me is not only are artists not willing to put in the real effort of mastering their craft, learning the game, their albums suck.
and I'm really like people come to me and they're like, oh, did you listen to this album? I'm like, I don't listen to albums anymore because I know they all suck. I don't know what happened, but people don't.
That's unfair,
don't put
Tony.
The time
Tony, you're being unfair. You're being unfair.
No, man, I'm not. I'm being serious, man.
You
I'm so sick of hearing bad music.
You can't just...
I know you're being honest, Tony, but
I mean, come on, honestly. 9 times out of 10, if you really listen to an album or you listen to an artist, you're not. It's there's so many artists out there just being the same, like. Step outside of the box, man. Like, use your emotion. Use your passion. Like, use some instruments. Like, something, you know? Like, I hear so many artists, especially in hip-hop. Hip-hop is so bad right now. Like,
you sound like me,
Tony.
You really sound like me, man. And I appreciate everything you're saying. Keep talking, Tony.
So serious. Like, the hip-hop artists, even the ones that... are doing great, like, a lot of the stuff they're rapping about is so fictional. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then you have the more urban street rappers that just rap about the same things over and over. Like, why not be like a Tupac and tell a story of struggle, of emotion, of passion that people can relate to? Like, are you, you think, like, people are going to look at you like you're soft or something because you have emotion and you have passion and everybody goes through this? We all have struggles that we went through. Whether you know, you made it out of it or you're still in it, people can relate to that. You can't, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As the music program director here at Hip Hop National, I'm very disappointed when I get a new submission and I get excited and I turn it on and I go 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and then I turn it off because the criteria, or, you know, it starts out right. They've got their, they, you can hear their talent, but you just, the lyrics, why? I mean, it's go ahead.
I think a lot of artists haven't even tried mastering the art of finding the right beat and making an intro. Not only can they not even make a whole record, they can't pick the right beat and they can't even make the intro right.
But now, like, Tony, let's just say you get a good one. Okay,
yeah.
that can get past that. But then the next thing you find out is that their lyrics, there's so much cursing going on, and they're talking about the same thing that you heard another artist talk about, her butt, or she dropped it, you know, or this and that and the other, you know. And you then what you have to think is why isn't this guy sitting in a forest or by the ocean, and or looking at the moon or thinking about, you know, a lot of other things? Why does he have to hit on this subject matter with the talent he possesses? You know, what I'm saying?
Yo,
Tupac did that. Tupac hit on different subjects that, you know, that everyone could relate to, but they were deeper than just the surface guys that you hear now. You know, so I hear where you're coming from. I really do. Sounds like a lot of frustration because when you talk to them, they won't listen to you. And then they think you're a hater because of the fact that you don't embrace what they're doing like they do.
You know, I was talking to an executive in California today, and I said, you know, we're talking about what artists were great rappers. And a discussion came up about Lil Wayne and Drake and people comparing their careers to Tupac, Eminem, and Dr. Dre. And I said, you know, there's no comparison, no disrespect at all to Young Money. Very talented artists, have made tons of great records. I personally like a lot of them. But it's a different league. You know, like, I think people... Pop, R&B, jazz is all blowing rap and hip hop out of the water right now. Honestly, I mean, I like rap the most, but to find great rap these days is just like I said, you know, you go to a hip hop artist, the first track they even show you isn't good. And then, you know, you go through the whole album, they didn't even have the track listing right. They didn't know how to identify which records were even good. It's a mess, man. And, you know, like people say the art of A&R is dying. I don't know what's exactly happening, but me personally right now, I'm trying to land a job in California, and I'm going to see what's happening. You know what I'm saying? I'm sick of hearing. I'm going to see, and I'm going to let the people know. You know, I like educating people. I don't like misleading people. And I don't know why so many people are fake. Like, you know, you look at their word is fake. You look at their music's fake. You can see through people's character.
That's true. Well, you know, old thing, wannabes. See, you know, there's that, you know, I use the phrase Elvis impersonators. And we have a bunch of Elvis impersonators in rap artists. They're not individual talents. They're just impersonating other talented people that they've seen or heard. And so they're just trying to reproduce the same sound in their voice or the same character that someone else has succeeded doing. You know, copycat is one of the biggest forms of flattery, and that's what you have a lot of the artists doing. They're not individual artists. They're not taking an individual stance in what they're doing and what they're saying. It's all the crabs in the bucket.
If you're a hip hop artist right now listening to me, just close your eyes and feel, listen to your heart, feel your emotion, and write something on a piece of paper that doesn't have to do with money, cars, you know, leave money and cars out, leave that out, leave twerking out, like. Yeah, drugs are a problem. Why don't if you want to rap about drugs, why don't you rap real stuff? You know, real stuff that's going on within your neighborhood, within your past, within your story that you know people are going to relate to. You know, and people will feel that. Like, you know, you there's some artists you hear, and it'll like, not to sound off, it'll literally almost bring tears to my eyes sometimes. And you'll just hear them, and you'll be like, wow, this is real. You know, I can feel this. You can literally feel the track. But, and I'm in Cleveland right now. Oh, my God, the artists are horrible. They're terrible. They're everywhere, man, everywhere.
Well, check. See, you know what? They have, how do they put it? They have dumbed themselves down. You know, they say that, you know, to hit the mainstream, that the labels and what have you want them to dumb down. No, they want them to enlighten themselves and rise. They've already dumbed themselves down to the lowest level. You know, I mean, in what they say and what their song is about, and, I mean, you can't, there's nothing to really learn or to motivate you from their music, let alone dance to it. You know, I mean, they've even forgotten, like you said, the rhythm that people want to have to dance to. Hell, you know, I told Poetic one night, I said, you know, to me, it's like the organ grinder and the monkey. The first one you're going to give money to, but the 11 that are on the blocks as you walk down the street get nothing. And this is what you have in the hip-hop thing. You have a lot of people doing the same thing, and the shock effect of some of the lyrics, it's over. When the first person that did it shocked the mess out of everybody. Oh, did you hear what he said? Once we figured out what he has said and we know what he's saying, we don't want to hear it from another artist. There's no more shock effect. There's no newness. It's the same old thing, as you say. So, you know, I do understand your frustration, you know, but that's where you and myself, see, you produce music and do things. We have to bring it a different way. Show them how it's done. Then we'll be like Pied Pipers. They'll listen to what we have to say. And those that don't, guess what? They can keep on stepping.
But
see,
you know,
go ahead. You go ahead, man.
One of the biggest problems is, like me, I'm going to get a good job at an entertainment company or a record label, or I'm going to die trying, mark my words. And when I get there, there's so many people I'm going to have to turn the cold shoulder to. Like, just listen to me and you and other people now before it's too late. Like, we're not trying to mislead you. We're not, you know, asking you to blow a bunch of money with us right now. And you know, we're here. I'm here for free right now. You know, like, I'm here, you know, and just take that and listen. And if you disagree with something, say something to me. You can email me, anthonygiamei@gmail.com, G-I-A-M-E-I. Email me any questions you have where you think I could help you. I'm fine with that. For free, I will help you. But when I get to where I want to be in my career, there's going to be different people I'm going to want to focus on and I'm going to have to focus on. And I'm probably not going to have the time for you unless you pay me. So, you know, so it's like just real. And that's what happens with a lot of these executives. People take them for granted. And by the time they're like, you know what, I blew that shot. You know, maybe I should have listened to him. Maybe I should have tried to learn. Maybe I should have collaborated with that person and tried to see what we could have came up with that was a solution to a question, you know?
And I can understand that. I can understand that. It's hard to figure out which pathway is going to be the right one. And, you know, and it's going to be like that. But you know what? You have to follow your conscience and you have to follow your heart. And then you have to give it to the point of, hey, your best effort. If you say no, no is no. And everybody has the right to say, well, not now, no. But if you say yes, you have to commit yourself and bring your excellence to the table, regardless of what anybody else does.
And that
you
goes,
have to bring your excellence.
Yeah, that goes back to the whole paperwork thing is commit yourself. And realize, especially as an independent artist or whatever you're doing, a producer, you're gonna make mistakes. There's just if you don't have a big team, there's just so much going on within paperwork, technology, marketing, promotion, publishing, copyrights, trademarks, intellectual property. Literally, words and contracts can completely change contracts. There's just so much going on. You got to be ready, and you got to not. The first thing is, I would say for a lot of these artists, don't even worry about a fan base or being rich or being this or being that or generating revenue. Start by making good music and get critiqued on it and know. You should know, like, when I hear her, like, certain tracks, I know they're hits. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been around so much music that I can identify great music. So, and that's something you have to develop. Honestly, 3 years ago, I didn't know music as well as I knew it now. But I had to, you know, I'm not rich. I don't make millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. I devoted myself to the craft of understanding what is good and what isn't. You know, start with your music. Start with the beat. I know a lot of the time, you know, I do artistry on the side. A lot of my writing, it comes from hearing the beat and then feeling emotion from the beat. You hear that beat, you're like, wow, this is great. You know, I know people would like this. And just start from there and be committed at it. Get your work done. Instead of trying to rush through an album, I believe every artist's vision should be, my whole album is going to be good. I'm not. You can't step into your opportunity, the opportunity where you say, you know, you got a great contract, you got everything, and you're just gonna, you know, bull F your way through it. And I don't mean to swear, but you know, you can't. Take your time. Really work at it. Don't just sit there. And art. Another thing is, don't rush yourself. A lot of the time, I think artists are trying to rush themselves. They're just trying to get a track done. Like art is special. You know, sometimes you'll wake up at 3 a.m. because you didn't sleep right. You were stressed out or something. It's like, I swear, stress is like part of the artist's curse. Like 99% of us have some depression problem or something. But you'll get up at 4 a.m. and you'll only write half of a song, and then you'll hit that half of the song and you'll be like, oh, there's no emotion right now, but I'm still trying to force myself to write this record. Relax, come back to it. You know, you'll come back to it at some point and you'll hear it again and you'll feel that inspiration. And when you have that inspiration and passion is when you'll make your best work.
Well, right. You know what? Now, everything he said is true. Go ahead, Poetic.
No, I was just going to go ahead and go to a brief break, one to come back, and then I wanted to talk about the business and what the importance of, you know, setting yourself up as in the sense of your team. Putting a team together, is it necessary to promote what you're trying to do? Or should you be a one-man show just doing it all? But before we get into that, I wanted to go to a brief break. We won't be back. I'm gonna say we won't be gone. So y'all keep
what the what?
Right.
y'all stay with us. It's more on the other side. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio tonight. We're talking about the music industry, the business of dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Stay with us. It's more on the other side.
HipHopNational.com.
Hip Hop National Radio presents KO with their smash single, Cry Wolf, Cry Wolf. Mean Girls. Photoshop. Original.
The name of hip hop.
Did your little dance? Your eye was
flip flop.
Cause back in the day, the music had played. Look at you now, you know you should have stayed.
Original.
Cry Wolf, Mean Girls, Photoshop, Original, all hot songs from KO. To hear more from KO, that's KAYO. Visit online at KOBlowKisses.com. It's a one-stop shop to get all the hits and info from KO. KO, Cry Wolf, a Hip Hop National Radio exclusive.
HipHopNational.com. Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from Hip Hop National partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit HipHopNational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Hi, I'm Val Derbebe, and I've got the perfect gift to give your friends and family this Christmas. It's from Nikki Gumbel, the tiny book of Why Christmas. This easy-to-understand booklet delivers the fundamental truth about the importance of Christmas and who Jesus Christ is. The Val Derbebe Show and Hip Hop National want you to have a free copy. At Hip Hop National's website, just click on Contact Us, or at ValderBBShow.com, click on Email Valder. On our website, at our email, simply enter Why Christmas, and we'll send you a free copy. We'll even handle the postage, because we want you to have a happy holiday. This Christmas giveaway is brought to you by Nikki Gumbel, the creator of Why Christmas, Hip Hop National Radio, and ValderBBShow.com.
We're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This is, we are in the business of helping you make music and make money, teaching you how to take your music from studio to the bank. We are a marketing firm to help you present a professional portfolio to present to the inside circle of the music business. So get in touch with us and upload your music. www.hiphopnational.com.
Can I say something about what Tony was saying right before, and then you can change the subject. But what I wanted to say to him is this, you know.
Run off.
Yeah, as a producer.
Did you just interrupt me while I was finishing up with
Yeah, but and I apologize for that. I really do. You know I wouldn't do that for the world. You know I wouldn't
all
do
right,
that. I wouldn't
right.
throw you under the bus like that and disregard what you
okay.
had to say. I really wouldn't. I'm sorry about that. HipHopNationalRadio.com. Okay. All righty. No, what I wanted to say, I just had to say this, is that as a producer, I do understand what he's saying about, you know, getting it together so that you do have a catalog of music. You know, like we've been producing songs that no one's ever heard for over 7 years. You know, we've got songs that no one outside of the studio has heard. And it's taken 7 years of reconstructing, constructing, saying, ooh, no, and having it evolve. So, you know, young folks have a tendency to think that they can have a masterpiece overnight. Well, you know, it doesn't work like that. And I want to encourage him to understand, have patience. Take your time. Because, you see, one song, one signature of your artistry can take you to the moon and back. But you got to put love, you got to put time, and you got to raise it just like a child. Because, you see, what you don't give to it, it might be that last ingredient or that last sound that makes it last forever. And that's what a lot of the great musicians and artists, their music will last forever. Who's going to replace Luther? Who's going to replace the Smokey Robinson? You know, when you start to think about some of these people, you go, well, you know, hey, until they come along, their shelf life is forever. As long as the music industry continues putting out products, they'll be selling them forever. Michael Jackson, they'll be selling him forever. You know, until...
You swayed a little bit, but I want to go there with you, where you're at right now. How long do you sit on your songs waiting on
As long as time it goes. Mozart, they're still playing that. I can take you to a place tonight. We can sit down and listen to that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is so many people, they sit on it till it's absolutely perfect. And then when it's perfect, they say it's not perfect. Oh, man, did you hear that sound? Man, I can't release that. And then they get around to never releasing it.
Yeah, but see, guess what? Someone will. I mean, it's not like they get thrown away. Maybe some get lost, okay?
Yeah,
but
don't get me wrong.
It's just like the pictures that...
All songs are not timeless. All songs are not timeless.
Well, okay, but then there you go. That's worthless.
No, I'm saying if that song fits the moment and you're waiting on the perfection, and then all of a sudden when the song that you wrote was about Nelson Mandela, 5 years from now or a year from now, his death is not going to be meaningless, but the impact of
okay, wait a minute,
story
hold
out.
It.
Wait,
okay,
to
but
me.
Slow down.
Don't give any fake rappers any ideas here. Any ideas here. I don't want them making a Mandela track and they don't even know who he is or anything.
Okay, but listen to this. Listen to this. That track that Dr. A.T. made for Mandela that Hip Hop National has been playing.
That's perfect.
Was a track that
perfect,
we have
right
done. Oh, hold it. Wait a minute. Is a track of music that we own that we can flip it for whoever we want to flip it for.
Mm-hmm.
in the same mindset. See, it doesn't die. It's like Jingle Bells. How many versions of Jingle Bells have you heard? And it's still the same Jingle Bells.
Oh, see, I agree. That's
so
timeless.
What I'm saying
that's
to you
timeless.
Is this. Is
but that,
that
is what, timeless.
Right. So what happens is that the creator or the producer or the person that created that had an idea that was bigger than all of anything that you could apply it to. That's what a producer has to do. It's bigger than anything that you want to just pigeonhole it into, that it survives. And now, there are what you call those songs of the minute, but what you're going to find, I think, is that you just happen to find it that minute.
All right, let me go to this caller. Let me include them real quick. 601-935, please state your name, where you're calling in from. Going once, going twice.
You're gone.
they raised their hand, didn't they, Ron?
I saw it.
Yeah.
But I guess they changed their mind.
You know, me, I'm still pretty young. I'm 25, but I feel it's part of my responsibility as a musician and a lover to a love of the art to pass on great music. And I think, you know, that's something that the industry executives are going to have to do, the fans, everybody needs. I mean, if you look at, okay, rap, without a doubt, rap and hip-hop's getting worse. Without a doubt, rock is getting worse. But the average rock band is usually pretty decent. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you hear, like, okay, example, you listen to 20 rappers, like, I don't even know the statistic, but, I mean, something like you'd probably, like, one out of 20 artists that submitted a song. Now, you look at a band, probably one out of five of them is going to be great. But zero out of five of them are going to be nowhere near the caliber of a group like Led Zeppelin, for example. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that it's as I said, it's part of our responsibility to pass on great music and make sure that production and A&Ring never dies, because it's very important. And now the artistry is becoming independent. You still need somebody acting as your producer in A&R. That's one of the team members you should focus on the most, is somebody who knows you're making good music and when you're going off on a bad path, they help take you away from that. And they, you know, they keep you in a balance of making great product.
Exactly.
Well, let's go there. So you said that somebody, a good A&R is somebody you need on your team.
A&R producer, kind of becoming basically okay. The same thing. To
let's
an extent.
Go, let's go
I
there
don't,
and tell me,
you know,
why do you think so? Why do you need
why do I
the
think
A&R?
That?
Why do you? Why is the A&R position on your team necessary?
A&R producer is necessary. I'm not... Some artists may be gifted enough, and this is very rare, that they can oversee their career musically and do it right. Now, it's clear that even myself being primarily a promoter and other things, but that, you know, breaking your music is very, very hard. And the artists of these days, they have no clue what they're doing to actually turn their music into profit or to build a strong fan base. So going back to it, you know, your A&R and producer, if you have a really good one, the producer is going to be helping, you know, you make great records. You're going to have an A&R he's going to be able to help you with a team of songwriters, a team of producers that are going to make a great sound for you. And a lot of great A&Rs, from what I've read and seen, they've actually shaped the history of music, and it's being lost. Like, a lot of people are, like, independent, screw the majors. Like, man, the odds of you breaking yourself as an independent artist without marketing and promotion is nearly impossible, you know? And then for you to say, oh, I don't need anybody, if you're an artist saying to yourself, I don't want people taking creative control, you better be a genius, because most of you are just looking like fools. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, yeah, but what you're saying is that the A&R and the producer are telling them yes and no. No, that's not good enough. Yes, that's the right lyric. That's the right song. I think you've got something there. But if they also can tell them, go back, try again, don't like it.
And they're on your team. You know,
right.
So if, I mean, a lot of people are really, I'm honestly pretty bad about constructive criticism. I mean, as men especially, it's hard for us to take constructive criticism. I mean, I'm sure women too, their looks, et cetera, they'll drive them crazy. But, you know, as a man, we like to stand our ground. But when it comes to music, especially with an A&R and producer, their careers, in a sense, are on the line for you. They're working with you. And when they give you constructive criticism, they're trying to make a creation with you. Don't take it the wrong way. Don't be hurt by it. Just listen to them.
Hey, do you know how fragile these artists are?
What's the difference between the roles of a manager and the A&R? Because the A&R sounds like the manager.
Management more so can handle a lot of different things. I don't know the whole extent of management, but, you know, your manager, I have a friend of mine who's in Cleveland right now. His mom's actually the mayor of my suburb, and he's in law school, and now he's a music manager. What is he primarily doing as their manager? He's trying to book shows for them. He's on social media, overseeing their website development, overseeing the social media, overseeing merchandise getting done. You know, he's doing more stuff like that as an initial manager.
You want to know the difference, Poetic?
Yes, I want you to tell me the difference.
I'm going to break it down in street terminology.
Go for it.
It's like the pimp in the streets. And the brothel owner. See, you have a lesser point of where you're taking the artist to as a manager. You're trying to get them in venues, whereas the brothel dresses them, showcases them, and promotes them through his establishment as having quality workers, quality entertainment. So those two analogies, see, that's what the understanding is that they're there to coax them, dress them, mentor them, and teach them how to be part of his business, his label. You see, the thing about it is this, you know, the truth will set you free. And I've caused a lot of arguments and a few tempers on this program in dealing with a few of the artists. And that was just to show that when you're trying to tell them something about, you know, how you feel about their product, they call you a hater. And I tried to explain that I'm a consumer, not a hater. Think of me as someone that might purchase your product, not somebody that's hating on you, the individual. I'm trying to tell them about their product. And so, therefore, what happens is that you get this in-the-box individual that's not willing to listen to criticism. Because what? They think they know it all. I don't know any entertainer that in the beginning, starting out, knows it all, that cannot learn. At my age, I learn something new every day. Now, if that's the case, then someone starting out and, you know, in their 20s, in their teens, and what have you, wow, they got a lot to learn. If I learn something new every day, so do they, and so are they. And just to listen, because, see, just like Tony said, I don't have my hand out for money. I'm trying to give them a suggestion in a kind way of how to achieve that success. You know, it's not telling them they don't have talent, but just I might be telling them, bring your lyrics into a mainstream category so that any radio station on the planet can play it, and you're not going to offend the public by the language that you might use. They don't understand that. Oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about, man. They want it. They want it, man. This is the way they buy it. Okay. You know, you can be cheap or you can be classy. And only those that are making the money have become classy with their entertaining abilities, their mind on working in the music industry to be open enough and flexible enough to please another individual and seeing where it goes. You know, you can't tell me that you won't try, that I don't, and you're just going to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's try. Let's see where more you can go with yourself as the artist, you know? Poetic, you've talked to many of them. And you also know that that's the truth. They will give you that point of, well, who told you you know so much? Because you're not joining along and cheering their product. You go, hey, I think you need to go back and do such and such and such with it. And you know you've gone through that. Am I wrong?
Yep. No, you're not wrong. I've definitely been through it. And it's just one of those things that, you know, people, it depends on how they respect your opinion, you know.
It's not even about respecting.
Let me bring in this call real quick. 706-957. Say your name, where you're calling in from.
You know who this is, Poetic. This is Bro Hammond Eggs. We're calling from LaGrange, Georgia. Trying to just call in and talk. What's happening? How you doing, Rodolph?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, sir.
All right.
I wanted to drop something on y'all. Yes, sir. I wanted to drop this in on y'all real quick. Listen to this, young man. Go ahead and take that off. Turn your radio off. I want you to listen. So, I was talking to an artist today who does, he's in pop, and we were just discussing something that Poetic was talking about earlier, and when he was telling me about the topic, and that was getting your I's dotted and your T's crossed, because this man has had 3 number one singles up in overseas, but hasn't gotten the money that he deserves and the recognition he should be deserving. Because everything hasn't been dotted and crossed, and people have taken money and have used his name and have made money and made themselves money and then moved on. And so now we're talking about getting straightening his business out, getting everything professionally done, doing it right. And it happens in his business all the time. You have to have a plan of attack. You can't just go, okay, I want to get a record deal. Well, what are you going to do to get the record deal? What we were talking about today, what are we going to do today that's going to affect what we're going to do in January, February, and March? I already have everything lined up, and the artists have to understand how to be artists. Managers have to understand how to be managers, and that's the biggest problem. You got too many people trying to run around doing too many things and don't know how to work together and to help each other to make a successful business.
Brohan, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do the His production, was it done in the United States?
Yes. Now, the production was done in the United States. Then he had, then one of the producers gave the production to another company who did a pop, who remixed it and made it more of a pop version. And so right now what's happening is...
Okay, but I got to ask you a question. Stop right there. This is a good question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This came up on a show before, and it was whoever he has signed with, did he also sign for if it went good internationally, overseas? Did in whatever distribution or contract that he has, did he sign to receive royalties in that case? Because some contracts are just exclusive in the United States. And when you say overseas.
You're right. And that's where the problem lies. He never, another person sent it to another DJ who remixed it, he never gave them permission to use his vocals, but the song became hot. Now we got to work in. Mm-hmm.
Did he?
But the song's published.
No. But did he sign and get a copyright from overseas for his song? Also, see, you can get one for that works in the United States, but we had an artist on from the UK and what have you, and there's another publishing right that he should have gotten on his song, so even if it went overseas, he would have had copyrights.
And I agree. And that's where the problem is. It was sent overseas, and he didn't set that up because he didn't know how to do it.
Oh.
Somebody went on to sit the song over there, used his vocals. He made a video for the song. People have looked at the video. He's got over 100,000 views, but he hasn't gotten paid for the music. And this is something that we all need to talk, because this is learning material now.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this to you. Now, hopefully the guy that did the remix didn't put in for the copyright over there. Now, if he did and your guy doesn't beat him to the punch in getting the copyright overseas, I hate to say it, sounds like he's SOL. Because
yes and no.
Well, see,
once you got it registered, there's and I know the thing. I know what you're talking about, but there's a thing too for royalties. It's a universal one too with the copyright, and there's a universal one that goes. Doesn't matter if you register it there or not, because it's I forget the name of the country. Starts with the M. That's how you get your publishing back. And
okay,
any record,
but now here's the catch.
It's
a remix. It's not the same song.
It's a remix. No, it is the same song. It's a remix of the music. It, the voice, the lyrics, same person. Nothing has been changed as far as the lyrical content. Listen to what I'm saying to you, because I understand where you're coming from. The lyrical content did not change. The lyrics are still his voice. Nothing's changed. The only thing that changed was the tempo and the beat. That was it. Everything else belongs to him.
Which that entered into a different sound recording.
Right.
Because that's the SR form, at least in the United States. Now, I don't know how it is overseas. I don't see how, because a lot of times they do take songs and they capitalize on overseas because you hadn't protected yourself in that. Domain. Yeah.
But what we're gonna do, the whole gist of the thing is that's fine though. We can capitalize still on the voice alone, knowing that it still belongs to him, and put out new music. At the same time, we can worry about the legal ramifications for all the old stuff because it's old.
Right.
No point in fighting about it. At this point, you can find out and see if you can get it. If not, take advantage of him being number one. And having three number one songs. Here's the key to the whole thing, which you guys now understand the business side of it. Let's take advantage of, okay, somebody screwed us over, but we have a leg up.
Right.
People can identify who this artist is now.
Right.
Because when you have over here in the United States, you got Justin Bieber singing his lyrics on the Grammys, that means that his song is popular.
Right.
So now let's capitalize on it.
You got free promotion too.
Free promotion.
Costly,
right.
But
he's already promoted
overseas.
Right. So it's free promotion. So now all we need to do now is have the promoters go ahead and start promoting him and his band to do his songs and cover tunes overseas while we're starting to put new material out, and now nobody can touch it because now it'll pop automatically off the charts.
Covers
are legal, correct? I don't know all the cover laws exactly, but you can actually sell covers as an artist legally.
Right. But I'm saying you can do cover tunes.
Yeah, but that's only if you got the permission.
You can do cover tunes. Listen to what I'm saying. You can do cover tunes and get paid for it to do it in clubs. You can get paid to do it at venues while you're promoting your own music. So you can still do covers. You can sing Pop 40. You can do covers, and you can do your own material while you're getting paid, as long as you're not selling it on a vinyl. So what you're doing is you're touring so people will start hearing your stuff, so they'll start recognizing who you are. And then at that point, once you have enough catalog, then you don't need to do covers because now the promoters are going to hire you directly to do your stuff.
That's a subject I haven't touched on in a while. I believe there's laws for covers where you don't need permissions. If you don't change the content.
Yeah, I believe you can do a cover.
And you can sell it? And you can sell it?
No, you cannot sell it. You cannot do it.
But that's what Anthony's saying. Anthony's saying you can promote it.
But you can't, if
somebody else got a copyright on it and you call yourself selling that, that's copyright infringement.
Right, and it's called I'm telling you,
you may be doing a cover, but you still ain't write the song.
Okay, if you said
so
if you want
to
intend
capitalize money wise
If you intend on selling the song, you have to give Harry Fox $250.
You have to give Harry Fox
$250, and you have to tell him how many songs, how much of that song you're going to sell first. If you want to buy the rights to the song, which is now buying the publishing, because you didn't have to buy the publishing. And people sell their pubs, okay? And then you can sell the pub for $5 million, and whatever songs you have written and all that publishing, if you get it on TV and you make $38 million, they only make $5 million, but you only have so many years that you make an agreement that you sold it for $5 million. Now, there's still residuals coming after you put it in play and you made $35 million, and there's still $6, $7, $10, $20 million still coming behind that. You no longer get it once your time is up. But for Harry Fox, you got to do Harry Fox. If you want to sell a single of a cover tune for every song that you want to sell, to put a UPC stamp on a code on an ISAC code on it, you have to pay $250 for each song. And the reason I know this is because I'm an ex-artist, and I love Donnie Hathaway. And I was going to do quite a few Donnie Hathaway songs, and it's some songs that people don't know. And I had to do my investigation. In order for me to even do his songs, I had to pay that $250 for every song I want to use if I want to keep it the same or change it.
Okay.
You have to give credit.
Yeah.
I believe it's just giving the – and don't quote me on this. I believe you just have to properly give the artist credit for covers.
Most artists don't necessarily write their songs.
Yeah, because it's not the artist. It's whoever owned that publisher.
A perfect example, a lot of people don't know this, Love on a Two-Way Street was written by Al Goodman, okay? And then Alicia Keys and Jay-Z did In New York. Well, if you go back and listen to it, Boys and Girls, it's Love on a Two-Way Street. They thought he was dead, and they thought he was dead, and guess what? They had to pay him $30-something million dollars. Trust and believe
right.
me.
Exactly, that's
because,
true.
Because that song belonged to Al Goodman. Not only did he write the lyrics, he wrote the entire tune. So all
exactly.
of it belonged to him. Mm. And Love on the Two-Way Street is New York, and most people thought it was brand new. And Alicia Keys did not write that song. Al Goodman wrote that song.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm glad he brought that one out because, yeah, it's like that. It's, you know... There's only 12 notes. Let's just get that
yep.
straight. They've all been used. And hopefully, you know, the artists of today, they're sampling and using and what have you. They're just hoping that no one catches up with them. And if
right.
someone catches them, hopefully they've made enough money that they can all settle. Okay? You know, that's the case to this whole scenario, especially in the hip-hop industry. You know, that's basically how they make their music, is sampling. But in R&B, it was more of a creation of the music. And so you had the composer and the producer in that. And I think that most producers are getting away from trying to do hip-hop because of the fact of the legal ramifications in the sampling part of it. You know, unless
well,
you're real
about,
good.
Let's talk about that legal ramification when we return.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
Forever Memory Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.f214-403-1524. That number again is 214-403-1524. And tell them Hip Hop National Radio told you to give them a call.
In the mix with Dr. Ray T. Kimmy Hearn on the Spreaker Channel. www.spreaker.com/listen. Hip Hop National Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Chris Willingham, founder and pastor of Crimson Line Ministries Atlanta. We are so excited about a new strategic partnership between Crimson Line Ministries and Hip Hop National Radio. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and every time zone in between, we're going to be reaching out to a new global community with a message of the Kingdom of God, a word that will encourage you and give you the tools you need to use your God-given gifts and your passions to inspire and encourage others. This is the point where the music community and the Kingdom of God come together to begin transforming our homes, our cities, and our nation. Please join us this Sunday night and every Sunday night as we begin this mighty move of God. God bless.
All right, we're back. Unfortunately, the bells and whistles are not working, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, just to let you guys know, we are a marketing firm to help you present a professional portfolio to the inside circle of the music business. Connect with us by uploading your music, www.hiphopnational.com. Let's go ahead, Raw Dog, continue in what you were saying. You know how to fall.
Oh, what was I saying? The point, you know, we were talking about the overseas, and we were talking about, you know, the producer, and, you know, there's ways of doing cover songs and legally being able to do them. But let's just talk the individual artists and, you know, the things that are necessary for them to learn that, you know, I hear the pop artists, and it went overseas. Well, his eyes are open. This is a big old world, which means that you have to protect yourself globally when it comes to what you do. You know, there are things that, you know, in this world that you give away and they become promotion that you don't expect to get, you know, money back from, because you got to promote yourself. You know, I understand if someone did something and they capitalized on what he did, well, that's a lesson to learn, and that's kind of expensive. I don't say lay down and take it, but I'm saying that it can only make you stronger. It can only make you better. It also gives you a reward that you have talent. You know, now, I heard that it was a remix and what have you, and that, you know, so I don't know who produced him, if he produced himself or, you know, but it makes him marketable. Put it in his resume. Keep the stats. You know, pursue trying to get paid from it, but yet use it as a God gift and a stepping stone. Because if you did that and you now have matured and gotten even better, maybe the world is ready for you. But then listen to the remix, and maybe that person may be showing you somewhere that you might want to take your talent to by however he might have changed it possibly. Now, let's just say he didn't change it. Well, okay, honk your horn, you're there. But if he did, take note of it. Figure it out, you know, because sometimes we can think that it's people taking advantage of our artistry, but it could also be somebody showing you that there is an avenue and there is a demand for your voice. And all you got to do is hey, use it to your benefit. There's negatives because you didn't get paid, but there are positives because it is you, and the popularity behind it has brought, you know, a chatter about you. That's kind of an artist's dream, you know, to have a market that is embracing them in a big way. So, you know, I in one way I feel, but in another way, I say, wow, he's knocking on the door to success. So, you know, and I know Broham thinks the same way, too.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I would go after them legally. You know, if there was enough money generated, go after the people legally.
Right, well,
let's include this other caller, 817-941. Please state your name, where you're calling in from.
Hey, what's going on, Poet? It's your boy, Big Clint, man. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right, Big Clint. Stay with us. Anthony, you have the floor. Then, Broham, you're next. This is Big Clint, guys.
All I was saying is I would advise, you know, if enough money was generated, the investment of getting an attorney and going after them legally is definitely worth it, especially
right.
If there's clear evidence of, you know, legal problems.
And there's a
Watch this. He shot the video for it. That's what I'm telling you. He got over 100,000 views because they were listening to his song. So it's evidence, pure evidence, because they send it back. What happened is somebody got a deal through a record label.
You mean
okay,
for
there's
his
something
song?
Going on. Yeah, somebody else did a deal through a record label for a song overseas.
Claiming that it was him.
Well, no, they didn't claim that was him. It was whoever the producer was, whoever remixed it, the producer that remixed it got a deal. They were doing their deal, and a label put it out under their people. But they didn't claim, they included his name. Now, here's the funny thing. They included his name saying so-and-so-and-so featuring when it's his song. So that's we can really get it because they included his name.
But wait a minute.
But wait a minute.
No. But wait a minute now. Now. Let's just say, okay, they were smart enough to do that. There's something that they're not telling you that they would have paid him.
No.
I'm telling you.
And he did not.
They would have paid him.
I know him. Trust and believe me when I tell you, Al, I know him. I've been knowing him for a long time. I didn't just start knowing him, and he's been in the industry for a while. We would not be going through this. He had the wrong team behind it. Let's put this, and that's where it goes back to having the right people in the right place to assist you to make sure that everything you're doing, because when you have stuff going in and out, money goes in and out, and when you're trying to do big business, and you notice that when you start doing big business, if you don't have the proper people and checks and money's coming in, people are getting money all the time for you, claiming to be managers or this, it's in this person's name, and then you're an artist not getting money, getting ripped off, people going, the manager's not paying for the taxes, not doing the part that's supposed to be done, because at the end of the day, you know a manager is supposed to protect his artist. But there's a lot of people that are in this business that claim to be managers, but they don't do their job.
I agree.
You know, and that's where... And then artists have to understand. So artists cannot be a manager. That's why when I said earlier, an artist has to be an artist, a manager has to be a manager. And when you have PR people and you have publicists and you have marketing people, all those people have to know their role. The manager is supposed to monitor and manage everybody's situation when it comes to that, but to protect his artist at the end of the day, because his job is to protect his artist. And when you have clowns and buffoons, which are out there, and they're claiming that they know the industry and they know the business, and then they start seeing checks coming in and money starts coming in, people's butt cheeks start tightening up a little different.
Yeah, but here's the catch. Have you ever heard this phrase, bump a fool and take his money? All right. Now, I hate to say this. I've been listening to what you're saying. It sounds as though you have a young artist. Is he in his 20s?
No, sir. No,
he's
sir.
Older than
artist.
That?
Yes,
okay.
He is.
Okay. I hate to say this. We the worst ones.
And guess what? But he had people he believed in. And
okay,
no.
Guess what? We have started a phrase on Hip Hop National. In God we trust. All others pay cash. Now, the catch to this is somebody had him sign on the dotted line and didn't tell him that it did not include global revenues. Somebody
not
got some paperwork that I think is going to pop up.
No, not for that.
Well, but now
well,
you said
hey
it
guys,
was like,
I want to include another caller, Big Clint. I know you're waiting. So I want to get your thoughts on it, too. 321-210, please state your name, where you're calling it from.
Hey, this is Jonah, and I'm calling from the Atlanta area.
You got a question or comment or statement based on what you heard them say?
Well, I was listening to the whole conversation, and the artist that he's talking about is here somewhere, somehow. He had to sign his rights for something. Or there'd be so many legal ramifications with that song, it would be ridiculous.
Exactly.
Somewhere, something he signed messed him up. And it don't even matter if it was just a little piece of paper or just a light contract or anything, because if you're in the industry and you write a song and you have the rights to the song and somebody uses it, you have ramifications to go back to. But if you make a mistake and even sign with a manager, they go ahead and shop your song around. At certain times, if certain things you sign, look at TLC.
True.
Their manager took all their money.
True. Legally.
Legally, he took all their money.
That's
so
why I say, Big
Quint.
Big Quint, were you listening to a show when that we talked about how in contracts that it's necessary to make sure that the addendum that overseas market or global markets were included in the revenues and royalties and the rights. If you didn't sign that into the contract, then it was something that that could be done, and you'd have no legal comeback because it's a totally different market, and that's the it's not the same product they're selling. It's a remix product that they're selling, and I got a feeling that there's some paperwork somewhere that he didn't sign for the royalties of that, even though they used it. They gave him the credit, but to give him the credit, that's too bold not to have the paperwork that says that they have the rights to do that. Why even put his include his name if they were going to be that far wrong?
Where did the song generate revenues? Where did it happen at? Was it digitally? Was it was there physical copies? Was there a lot of radio play? What can you track back on the record?
It was a lot of radio play that was done on the record, and so we know that it was radio play, and that's what we're trying to get the numbers on, and everything that happened, because he did not sign anything. He did something with a producer, and a producer sent something to someone else, and then they liked the song and just
released it. This song was registered with ASCAP, BMI, or CSAP?
Yep. Well, ASCAP
came
up.
How about Sound Exchange?
TuneCore it was, and you got
to
pay.
SoundScan, you have to have SoundScan, correct?
No.
Yes.
No, you don't.
But Sound Exchange monitors stuff that happens over the World Wide Web.
Right.
So.
But SoundScan.
How did you track there were sales of this product?
We can't even track the sales yet.
I mean, but do you know it's being sold?
Yeah. Hold on one second.
Well, as far as I'm listening to, that's sort of a dead horse. But as new artists, they need to go out and get it and have a lawyer look at the contract, have the contract done right.
Right.
I mean, nowadays it's all about covering everything. If you're going to be a new artist, you're going to come out, even before you hire your manager, You need to have you and your manager sit down with a lawyer and get it ironed out right.
All right. So your manager knows what his legal rights and how far he can go with anything that you might do.
I think with how much technology is evolving, I think a lot of the lawyers are actually falling behind. But we as people don't know it or understand it or see it. You know, you look at if a lawyer is 70 years old, if he hasn't been staying up with the technology curve, how is he going to know about internet streaming? How is he going to know about... Are you guys familiar with Twitch TV? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's huge right now. Huge. And there's tons of money being generated on it. There's music being streamed on it. There's advertisement money. There's sponsors. I think a lot of it is... It's evolved so much that even the lawyers, not only are the artists have no clue what they're doing, I think some of the lawyers are falling behind on the technology.
Well, yeah, you know what? You hit on something, Tony, because when they came out with downloads over the Internet, they didn't have any way to regulate. And then they had to come up with the laws and what have you to govern, you know, what could be downloaded for free. You know, I can remember people that downloaded different tunes like Mad Scientists. They just, everything they could get their hands on. And there was nothing that said that it was illegal to acquire music like that. So, you know, the artist didn't get paid, but the music was being shared. And so there was no revenue or money taking place, so the artists were losing out on the revenue that they could have gotten on their product. So I think you're right on that. I think, you know, lawyers are somewhat antiquated. And so, therefore, yeah, until the laws catch up with the Internet to regulate it in a better fashion, I think you're gonna find that this is the thief in the night when it comes to music. You know?
Area code 757-471. Please state your name, where you're calling in from. You have a question or comment for our guest or our host.
Megas Go Billion. From Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm just listening.
Yeah. Okay. And you raised your hand. You didn't want to speak.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just here listening. I'm here listening.
Yeah. Yeah. You raised your hand by pressing one. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Back to the discussion. Anthony Rodot was talking to you. You now have the floor.
Oh, you said I'm back.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, we're just going back to technology. Like, Twitch is becoming huge, and that's something new to a lot of people. You can go check it out, twitch.tv. You can go on there, and this is part of the evolution is streaming. Streaming over the next, it's already huge, but over the next 10 years is going to get bigger and bigger. You're going to see, mark my words, you're going to see social media networks where you can have a webcam on you within your house, and people will go to your page, just like Facebook, and they will watch you, and they're going to sit there, and they're going to chat with you. And what's going on is these corporations, they're providing advertisements within these streams, and then you're actually getting paid for it. Now, people's music is becoming very popular within the streams, but the artists and the music that's being used within it is not being, you're not being compensated. And people don't even know that. I mean, go on Twitch, just humor me. Go on Google, find Twitch TV, find some popular channels, and watch it for 10 minutes. I guarantee you one of those streams you're going to watch is going to have music playing in it. And that music being played in it is part of that production making money. But the artists aren't seeing any of that revenue. And then on top of it, most of these lawyers don't even know what Twitch TV is. So how are they going to protect you?
It's hard for them to protect an entity that has not been regulated yet.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. You know, regulated internet filtering, don't be discouraged by it. Just like a music contract, read the fine print. Because if the internet gets filtered and it's in a form of, you know, protecting software, protecting copyrights, protecting music, protecting entertainment, it's helping us. It's hurting the consumers that are stealing everything from us. It's not hurting you.
Now, when you say you said Twitch TV, that's TWITCH.
Twitch TV. Switch. Like,
yeah,
like your mom used to give you a whooping?
TWITCH. Yes, Twitch, like witch with a T. Twitch.tv.
Oh, Twitch. Okay. That's what I thought it was. Twitch. That's,
okay.
That's
There's a book that's written called This Business Called Music, written by two lawyers. I tell every artist I possibly can to go out and get it. Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, wherever you can go get it, This Business Called Music. That way you understand the industry, you understand what you get into, you understand who you need to put on your team. You know, and at some point you got to have a booking agent, you got to understand why that person's relevant. Why personal manager is relevant, why this person is relevant, why budgeting manager is relevant. You know, you just want to get out here and you just want to do music, how your TV rights, how you get money for yourself being on television, for being on a show. All of that counts. All of that makes business sense because what you just said is business sense. How do you get money? Why do you see somebody being advertised on a show on MTV or a regular show and their music's being played? They're getting paid
that music to be played on television. You can make money. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, another really sad thing. I see our economy having serious problems in the near future. If you watch what's going on with the internet, and this is relative to music, is that people are getting cheaper and cheaper, and they're getting desperater and desperater. Everything is going, if you have the right connections, everything is going down in price. People think it's being inflated, but what's happening within this technology curve is companies are stepping up to the plate, and they're saying, you know, we're going to do this better than you. We're going to do this faster. We're going to do it cheaper. We're going to do it more efficient, and we're going to make the customer more happy. And these small companies, they're stepping up to the plate, and by the time they get the backing and the marketing and promotion that they need, they're going to be putting a lot of these big cats out of business. And I see a very entrepreneurial future. Another thing relative to music is I believe the maximum price you can sell an album on iTunes, or the minimum price you can sell an album on iTunes, is $3. I could be wrong. It's something like that. You know, artists are having such a problem selling albums that it's getting to the point people are going to sell them cheaper and cheaper, which in a sense isn't a bad thing, but in a way it's not good. You know, everything's getting cheaper and cheaper. Like, you go on...
But, Tony, is that in the hip-hop genre? Because I went back...
People are...
The...
Yo, it's horrible. I talk
but
about people
you know
selling
what?
Themselves short. Check this out before I lose the thought. Most bands still get paid to get booked, correct?
Right.
You know, usually right. bands are paid. Hip-hop artists are buying their own... They're buying their own tickets.
I know. It's so whack.
It's so bad.
But see, you know why,
don't you?
You know why, don't you? It's because they come with a CD disc, and they give it to the DJ, and then the DJ puts it on, and then they run around in front of the DJ and perform. Hey. Somebody's got to pay for me to watch that. I got to be honest with you. That's not entertainment to me. You know, it was the first one.
For some of us, it is. Just to let you know, it is.
That just goes to show you who you are.
What?
I'm not easily entertained. I'm not easily entertained.
No,
listen to me.
To see a rapper and a DJ do their thing. Man, people have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, but you
that's,
don't play an instrument.
I
you
got
don't
to
play
prepare
music.
For that because reality.
No. You don't play music.
Artists always been in that lane.
Yeah, but listen to me. I have never paid for a hip hop artist. Have I played? Have I paid to see George Benson? Have I paid
but
to Ronald, see Patti LaBelle?
You are one individual.
Does Patti LaBelle come out with just
you,
a CD?
You are one individual with that taste preference. I agree with you.
But,
I'm not in disagreement with what you're saying. But
can I ask
all
question,
of us
though?
Got different tastes. Yeah,
yeah
you
but
got,
can I
you
ask a question,
five
though?
To six of them
speak
or
up,
ten of them
up.
In one show.
Okay, my question is this. Let's make a distinction. There is a huge distinction from rap and hip-hop. And people don't realize that. There is a huge distinction.
Break it down.
And hip-hop deals with stuff that we grew up with the Funky Fresh crew and doing stuff that had mixture of pop, jazz, different types of instruments.
B-boy.
You could do different stuff. And so this rap stuff is about murder, death, kill, and dope and people
hip-hop.
On the street. No, that's not hip hop. That's rap.
Oh, okay.
Rap is about what I just saw, who I just did, how much I'm just making, how much weight I got. That's rap. Hip hop is totally different. Hip hop did deal with what you were talking about earlier, which was sampling, club, breaking it down. All that's hip hop because hip hop and pop have started clashing and coming together. Because you can still
I see Hello? What you're saying, but I think from a consumer standpoint, most consumers, I don't think they, unless they're a hip-hop head, the average consumer doesn't distinguish between rap and hip-hop anymore. They're the same thing to most consumers.
Right, but they don't know the difference. You're right, because consumers have been bamboozled.
I got hip-hop heads that will come on here and freak out. You know what I'm saying? But let's say the average, a girl, they won't really distinguish between hip-hop and rap ever. They won't say, oh, this is hip-hop, this is rap. They'll just be like, oh, this is rap.
Right.
Well, you can't say a girl. You can't say a girl.
I don't mean to be sexist
some girls
or anything. But,
some girls. Okay,
you know,
I'm gonna bring you to the caller. 321-210. I know you're chiming back into the topic. Who is this?
This is Jonah. I got dropped off.
All right, Jonah.
So
go ahead. You back on.
Yeah, I got dropped out. So I'm just coming
back.
Okay.
All right, no problem. Go ahead, continue. I think it was Big Clint, or was it you, Anthony?
You could go ahead. I just wanted to say that. I thought that was interesting. Because I definitely feel you, man, that hip-hop is a different art form than rap, I believe. So,
yeah, but what
I've been listening to it. I've been listening to you guys, man, and what got me, this is Big Clint, I'm sorry. Hip-hop and rap, hip-hop is a culture to me.
Yes.
And rap is more of a rhyming skill. So it is a difference. I understand that, but like you said, hip hop is more of a culture. It's like swag and all that.
It's a mixture of a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a mixture. It's a mixture of a lot of that. And then
what happened to graffiti? What happened to graffiti?
It's all. You can add that into hip hop too. You can add graffiti into hip hop.
Yeah, but it's kind of not there like it used to be. 757-471 Go Megas, go Billion.
Yeah.
You got the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Check this out. I just wanted to say, that's one of the reasons why I do things by myself, right? The way how y'all talk, because. Like when you say, I wouldn't pay no money for it to see hip hop and all that. That's like disrespectful. It's so disrespectful.
Wait a minute. You know
why?
What?
No,
and
no,
I love
you can't.
You,
you can't go back.
I love
let me limit
you've
it
been on
this
before. But I got a question. How do I sit in a club and the hip hop guy is up there and there's a guitar playing
that's
with
hip hop though.
And I can't see that guitar player.
You don't understand. That's hip hop, bro.
That's hip. That what I'm saying. That right there is hip hop. That is what hip hop is. That is disrespectful. That's like me saying, that like what y'all do, like how like that generation. It's like us saying to y'all, man, what y'all do is, oh, we don't care about that. But people say you always got to know where you come from. Well, you don't only have to know where you come from. You got to know where you're going. It's knowledge, wisdom, understanding. It's the past, the present, and the future. So when you say that, that's why a lot of youth, it's like, you know what, we don't care what y'all do. And that's why a lot of youth in the hip-hop generation right now, it's like we don't care what y'all old people got to say because y'all don't care what we saying. And
You know what? I love you, man. You are a very wise young man, and I understand.
Very
you did
passionate about what
he said.
I'm wrong, bro.
I got to give credit.
No. But this
wait.
But when you get
Glenn,
to be my
Glenn,
age,
you got the floor. Hold on. I want Glenn in there on this. Go, Glenn.
How y'all doing tonight, man?
Good, Glenn.
Very interesting topic. I've been listening, and I agree with the last caller on the show. It is in a way disrespectful to music as a whole, because every genre of music comes from another genre of music. So for a person of any age group to say, well, I don't like this or I don't like that, well, okay, cool, that's your personal preference. But to generalize it so broadly as to, you know, to just say, well, I'll pay to see George Benson, and I won't pay to see Wiz Khalifa or whoever. Well, how would you know that if you haven't been to a Wiz Khalifa show?
No, what I said was, as Poetic put it, the artist on stage, the one person, I need to see the whole thing if I'm going to pay. Other than that, I could play him on the turntable.
Well, you played George Benson on the turntable before you saw him.
But the reason for going to see him was to see the whole ensemble.
Yeah, but you didn't know the whole ensemble was going to be there because they only promote George Benson.
Well, they didn't do it like they do the hip-hop. George Benson just didn't come out with the guitar. You knew what to expect if he was coming. You
know
he wasn't going to be just him.
No, you knew
what
to expect.
What about spoken word? What about spoken word?
But you knew what to expect after you seen the performance.
I got everybody's mic open. I'm going to close the mics if I can keep hearing the noise. I got it open so we can all be included. Go ahead.
He wouldn't be able to be played unless he brought the ensemble. So the expectations were to see the whole work in front of my eyes.
But you have to understand, Raw Dog, you have to understand that if you are intelligent enough to know that because of this guy's recorded music made you want to buy a ticket to see him. Well, the people from the hip-hop generation, they feel the same way. They don't go to a hip-hop concert just because they want to go to a hip-hop concert. They're going to support the music that they live by.
Okay, so they're not in the expectations of seeing the whole ensemble that was behind that production, the musicians.
The whole ensemble, wait a minute, you have to understand, just like George Benson had a band, well, Public Enemy had an out-cold DJ. You need to understand that. Yeah. So you're talking about a world-renowned DJ who has mastered his craft like George Benson's bass player mastered his craft.
Well, the whole key to this is everybody does have a different preference in music, and you're talking about what we're talking about is entertainment. Period. Let's cut this down to what it's really about, because you know you went to see Michael Jackson because you knew you were going to get entertained. Besides just
right,
the music, you knew you were going to get entertained. Okay, well, everybody doesn't know how to – here's the problem, and this is where the problem lies, Raw Dog. This goes back to what I talked about earlier on Monday about training the young people to have a show. See, what you're talking about is having a show where you mix in the different genres of music, because I should be able to, even with hip-hop, I should be able to bring in George Benson and mix up something and bring George Benson out, and nobody knows he was coming, and he shows up, and I introduce something different. You're talking to, and see, that's entertainment, dude. And then the way I dance or I move or I do something in that show and I come out the ceiling or I do something that keeps you motivated so you're not locked in into just what's being played. And that even makes it different with a DJ when he spins around, if he uses his elbows, if he uses his nose, because that's entertainment. That he's showing you that he worked on his craft and to give you something different.
With that portion. But when you're talking about them paying to come out on stage to perform in front of people, and their code with the DJ is just they give them the disc, pay for that slot. See, I'm not paying for that.
Paying to perform.
The people are entertained. The people are entertained. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you look at a crowd, look at a hip-hop crowd, they're the most active people, that audience that you'll see when you look at hip-hop crowd. So you may not understand.
Well, it depends.
Because
it depends.
You don't know the reason why you don't know the information because you ain't in the culture.
Been to a country crowd? You ever been to a country music?
Who, me?
I mean,
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I know Megadeth, Metallica, all of that. I love music. I played a saxophone in bands for that first chair.
So that's not true though, because if you go to a club, if you're in Nashville, We can say the exact. Yes, yes, we can. Nah, we can say the exact same thing.
Go to. Look, hit Africa Bambaataa. When hip hop first came out, don't. I know, but I'm saying, look at a video. Just look at that video, and then you go over here, you look at that video over there. And what you're going to see is that these people over here are just as whatever. We don't have to put an extent on it too deep, but they're moving. You see people in their own world by themselves in the mirror dancing by themselves, listening to it. They're in their own world doing it. But
okay,
What I'm saying is that when you get a band and put them on stage, when you put a band on stage, they getting paid, right? You put a hip hop artist on stage, the people they don't want to pay them.
Okay,
let's say that they're even. If the people are even, you like me just as much as the country people, then how come I'm not getting paid and he getting paid? That's discrimination. And
no,
what I'm saying is, if my own people
going
to discriminate,
that's
I got a
strategy move.
I
got to please you. Why I got to please you?
Time,
if we cooperating.
If I'm going to pay you, you're going to have to please me. If you don't please me,
why do I
got to
please
you?
Why I got to please you if it's an audience? I got to please
you.
You just as a person?
What?
Huh?
See, this is
a hip-hop show.
Hey, a venue with a bunch of people that are drinking and high is not... Is not my case.
Okay, but look.
Check this out. The crowd is hip-hop. They're not looking for a hee-haw band. But you don't want to pay the hip-hop artist.
And I'm paying for a slot to perform in front of these people?
Come on, man. When you put a hip-hop person on stage, he brings as much attraction as a rock band. He brings as much. The people in the audience are just as pleased. You're not pleased, but the people are pleased. And you still made your money.
Am I paying for my slot?
Huh?
Am I paying for my slot?
What do you mean am I paying for my slot? What are you talking about?
To perform in front of the people. Am I paying to perform in front of the people?
Okay, this is what I'm saying, bro. What I'm saying is if you put a hip-hop dude on stage, y'all don't want to pay him. Y'all don't want to respect him. You see him as somebody that's low. Like if you was a Ku Klux Klan, like,
see,
oh, that's a bottom low black person. Why should I pay him? He don't have a good time saxophone.
Can you hear me?
If I get a rock dude that just made a band, he's going to get paid.
Right.
Okay? Now, the dude that's running it, but he just made his band. He's got a guitar player, a drum set, and they just made that band last year. He gets on stage and they get paid for what they're doing. You get a hip hop artist or whatever for 3 years, you don't want
to
pay him.
I see the point.
I'm going one person at a time because everybody's crowding over the next person, not giving
that. That's discrimination. And that's hip hop people doing that. That's hip hop people doing that to their own people.
I'm gonna go to Anthony because we got like 10 minutes and I got to regulate this call. Anthony,
okay,
you got the floor. You got about a minute to state your claim. You got the floor.
Okay, from a business standpoint, what's happening is the people that are making the show for the hip hop artists are selling slots so that they can cover the cost of renting the venue and everything else. The artists are cutting themselves short. Then you look at bands. When you're bringing a band, you're technically more likely per band to bring in about four times the audience. And most bands, it's a cultural thing in a sense. They're not willing to just cut themselves short. And the people that are booking the bands respect the artists enough to not take their souls and poop on them. You know, I was going to say, you know, but that's really what's happening is, you know, a lot of the hip-hop artists are being taken advantage of and are selling themselves short. And then on top of it, the most of the artists, their music's awful, and they have no fan base. So they can't even generate revenue to the business.
All right. We're going to go to Megan's Go Billion. You now got the floor to state your claim.
Man, hip-hop people be getting pimped. That's just it. The bands are new. The hip-hop artists are new. If there's not a artist that can bring in a crowd, you shouldn't have him on stage, okay? So that's the director of the event's fault. No. What it is that they're making money off of open mic night, watching people put their talents up and getting paid off of it, selling them the idea that they're going to be a star. Because usually the hip-hop people are not as educated. They're the low-income people, okay? That's what's happening. The people that's in the club, the people that's promoting the event, they're pimping the artists. Because look who makes money. The people that's in the studio makes money because they're trying to find that one person. So the whole system has to be gutted that when it comes to hip-hop. Or what?
Sorry about that. That was about accident. Anyway, I got to ask you this, though, Megan's Go Billion. Who fault is that?
Who fought is it? That's the people. That's the brothers. That's the hip-hop people.
They're uneducated.
They're uneducated? Okay, the fault that they're uneducated is because the dude that has all the equipment, he finds somebody that he can bring up because he's trying to find somebody to put in the industry. That's why. They're not looking for anybody.
But what I'm saying is it still falls back on whoever. I don't care. When it comes to ignorance is owned by the person who decide to be ignorant. Because it's too much.
Man,
don't get me wrong.
It's the system, bro. I've seen it.
Let me tell you something.
They don't want it.
There's so much information available out there today.
But when you're dealing with people, you're not dealing with it. They don't want to hear that information. That information, if you're an artist and you think like business-wise, then you're a capitalist. See, that's why everybody's to the left. You know what I'm saying? You can't think about money. You're an artist. You're not supposed to think about money.
I want to open up everybody's mic because we're about to finish up this topic.
Can I say something, boy?
Yes, sir. You got the floor.
Let me say this. Take an example from the Oregon Grinders, Monkey.
He ain't giving away no money. Just keep it down to a minute so I can bring somebody else in, too. Please. Go ahead. You got the floor.
Okay. I'd only be a second. Now, the Oregon Grinders, Monkey, ain't paying money. He's got a cup there. He's collecting money. He is not digging in his pocket and giving what somebody else gave to him to give to someone else to watch him. You know, if
that's
the monkey can be that intelligent and knowing that he's out there to perform and he's out there to get paid, let us lift our standards, not blame it on anybody else but ourselves.
No,
that's the game, pimping
artists. That's the game.
You can only be pimped if you allow yourself to be pimped.
That's why you get on the internet and do it how I do it. You do it and you promote yourself. You do it by yourself. And then that's why no hip-hop artists, the technology saved it. We don't need no group of people because they don't look
all
at
right,
you.
I'm opening up, I'm opening up the floor to others. Bro Ham and Eggs, what's your final thoughts? Bro Ham and Eggs, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay.
Sir,
I'm going to say this. The thing is you can't say that because you need people behind you, support team, leadership. This is something we talked about on Monday as well. That's why people should definitely tune in because you'll find out that we're discussing a lot of you have to have a team. You cannot do this by yourself. You have to have mentorship. You have to understand how to make the grind because everybody does not. How many hip-hop artists know how to tour? How do you understand about the touring? How do you understand about anything if you've never experienced it before? You have to have people in place. You got to have things in place. You got to also broaden your horizons so that you're able to give your people more than what you think you're giving them because they need to know more about what's going on. They need to understand when Rod was talking earlier. Shoot, look at Amazon. No, not Rodar, the young man that was just talking. You look at Amazon. Amazon is trying to take over everything. If you watch 60 Minutes, you'll find out 2 weekends ago that Amazon is trying to send little helicopters and little stuff to deliver your packages. You got to know, you want to talk about technology, you got to know everything. It's not just one little simple minute thing. It's everything. I'm shutting up now.
Glenn, you got final thoughts?
Well, you know what? I love Glenn. I know Glenn and I, we had two different sides this evening, but I love him because he's a wise individual, you know. And, you know, I just want to let him know that.
Okay. Glenn, you got your final thoughts?
Thank you, Raw Dog. I appreciate that. And I love you back. I think, man, that everybody on this call has a great point of view, to be honest, because I live this, and I've been living it for a long time. And nobody on this call has really been wrong tonight. You know, but what we need to understand, man, is this is not the hip-hop industry. This is the music industry. And hip-hop is just a very small part of it. And the young man does have a point, man, when he says that there is a system in place that pimps black artists. There always has been, and there always will be, as long as corporations run this business. It was designed to run this way. Now, like the other brother just said, yeah, you got to put a team together. This thought that you can do it by yourself, man, you can't do nothing by yourself. You fooling yourself. Because there's an infrastructure in place that will make sure that you're not successful at doing that. So, you know, but I think everybody, man, this has been interesting and enlightful, and it just shows you how many different viewpoints that are in this industry. But my main point, and I'm done, is this is not the hip-hop industry, man. This is the record industry.
Yes, sir. I agree. Big Clint.
Yeah, it's been interesting. All right, my final thought is, it's more, I agree with everybody on that, especially my man saying that artists are getting pimped. Yeah, artists are getting pimped because they allow it, and that's simply to the fact is that a rap artist or a hip-hop artist, whatever you want to call them, it's not just that one particular artist. It's more of like a dime. It's like 10 million of you guys out there rapping and artists. My grandma raps and shit. I mean, excuse me, my grandmother raps. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't want to rap for me right now, bro, I can go right down the street and get another rapper. You see what I'm saying? And he'll come and pay and perform. So it's basically the point where you have to say, am I going to allow myself to continue to get pimped in this game, or am I going to turn the game around and turn myself into a business? And that's when you got to act like you're a businessman and create your own lane. Create an outlet where you put on your own show. Get you a venue, put your own venue, put your own show on that venue. Create get you a team. Like my man say, you got to get you a squad. If you don't have a squad, you nobody. Nobody's going to listen to you. If you don't have a management, nobody's going to listen to you. You got to have a squad. Turn yourself into a business if it gets to the point where you feel like you're being pimped. Don't be the pimp. I mean, don't be the hoe. Be the pimp. You know what I'm saying? Pimp yourself. You see what I mean? Mm. So turn yourself into a business. Don't sit here and argue about it. Oh man, y'all treating us like this and that. It's not about that. You allow yourself to get treated like that, and everything coming from me being a promoter. Yeah, I'm gonna pimp you because like you say, if you don't want to rap for me, I'm gonna go next door and I'm gonna get John and he's gonna rap for me and he's gonna pay.
I gotta bring Jonah in. We're getting ready to close out, guys. So go ahead, Jonah. Please state.
I definitely agree with what everybody's saying on the line, but you cannot say that you're getting pimped if the knowledge is out here for you to learn. That's why we're having these calls. That's why we're having this. If they're not going to find out how they can make their money and how they can make their money properly, then you're allowing it to happen. Like the man say, you being the hoe, you're not being the pimp. And the whole problem of the game is that you have to take yourself and you have to make sure that you know the industry that you're getting into. If you don't, you're gonna always get pimped. There's always gonna be sharks in the water, and they're always looking for fresh blood. And that's really all I have to say.
Yeah.
All right, guys. In closing, I want to say to everybody, it's been a dynamic show. Thank y'all for taking me to school. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate it. Everybody on the line tonight has something very strong to say. And actually, I think our listening audience should have picked this up, because if they haven't tuned in, this is what they need to tune in for. And as Megan Goes Billion before was saying, you know, the ignorance, well, let's turn that around and start tuning in. Let's start reading, picking up the books. Let's start doing the things that's necessary so we won't be pimped. That's the main thing. Final thoughts, right on?
Hey, to play the game, you got to know the game. And, hey, let's do one thing. Let's never, ever say that we were pimped and that we were a hoe. Let's just say we had a lack of knowledge and we are now learning. You know, let's look up rather than down.
All right.
All right, guys. Good night. I want to say this to everybody. I'm just to let y'all know, y'all are listening to Hip Hop National Radio. What